appreciation is always humbling. And I just want to say thank you very much for your grace towards me and towards my family. We just consider it an honor to be able to be here amongst you in this way. And thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving my children and my wife and taking such good care of us. Thank you. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for gathering us. Thank you for being faithful to us, even when we at times are not faithful to you. Speak to us in this time, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I did something for the first time that I kind of thought I would never do in my life because it scares me. I don't know if you've ever done anything like that where you have something on a list that you say, I'm never going to do this because it's terrifying, but then all of a sudden some circumstance comes up and you end up doing it. But Sten Bowen got me to rock climb. And it was moderately horrifying at first. But after I watched his kids go up the rock like nobody's business, I thought, well, I can at least try. And being a pastor, it's really hard to not have an experience that ends up turning into a sermon. It's just a problem that I have. And so we were top roping. So there's a couple of bolts in the rock at the top of the cliff, and the rope runs through some loops on those bolts down to the ground. And if you're going to climb, it's a pretty safe way to do it, I was assured. And so I got all roped in, and you know, I'm watching people go up the rock face and come back down. I'm thinking, it doesn't look too bad. It looks pretty easy, actually. You know, when you're on the ground looking at it, it's different. And I made it about 8 feet up. I'm standing on this little ledge and thinking, man, this looks a lot higher now than it did when I was on the ground looking at it. Your perspective definitely shifts when you're in the middle of something. And I was encouraged to keep going, and so eventually I did, and I made it up. I was kind of trembling, holding on to little things on the rock. I think I left fingernail marks in it. And having the peer pressure of my children on the ground watching. And I finally made it to the top. And then, to get down, you have to let go of what you're holding on to and trust the rope. Let me tell you, that's not easy. You just clambered up there on your own strength, so to speak. And then you get down, you have to let go of what you were hanging on to, lean back even, and trust the rope. It's a lesson in faith. For sure, it's a lesson in having faith. God calls us out into things. And we say, okay, Lord, that looks pretty easy to do. I'll step out into that. I know it'll guide me. Everything will be fine. And then you get halfway into it. You're halfway up the rock face, and you start to get nervous. You can see where you're supposed to end up, and eventually God says, you need to let go and trust me. Lean back into me. I've got this. I'm not going to let you fall. Lean back into the rope. Lean back into the Lord and trust him. The last couple of Sundays, there have been scriptures about having faith. Last Sunday, the gospel lesson was about having faith the size of a mustard seed. Now, I have one of those at home somewhere. Couldn't find it. But it's a very small seed. And Jesus talks about, with faith even that size, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted, and it would be. And so small faith, mighty, mighty results. Something else we know about faith, I bet you can complete this scripture, keeping in the vein of scriptures. Maybe you even know where it lives. I don't know. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You know the rest of it? Yeah, it means not seen. Anybody know where it is?
Hebrews
11:1. Yes. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Yeah, this is how we know that the man in the house is supposed to make the coffee. faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And what about faith comes by hearing? And hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17, right? So we have some ideas about having faith and what that looks like, but in the scripture lessons today, there's these two amazing stories about people that had faith in the Lord. One in God through prophet Elisha, one in Christ. And so in the Old Testament, right, you've got Naaman. I love the way that Ian read this because it really brought out Naaman's pride. Not wanting to accept that he had to stoop and lower himself. And so, you know, Naaman's a big shot, right? And he shows up at Elisha's door. He's got his entourage with him. And, you know, he's all high and mighty and caught up in himself. And he's going to this man of God. And he thinks there's going to be this amazing healing that takes place. And it's going to be wonderful and glorious and in keeping with his personal glory and power and awesomeness. Right? And then he's told what to do. And he doesn't like it. And he gets all uppity. His pride is completely in the way. And he storms off in a rage. He's mad. And he just can't believe how could this prophet, you know, you can just hear him now, you know? And I got to give his servants credit. They had some courage to go to their master when he was in a rage and say that. And they said to him, Father, if he had told you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? But all he said was to wash and be clean. It was obvious to the servants, but not to the master, because his pride was just so inflated. He thought either he was going to do it on his own, or there was going to be some grandeur and glory in it for him. And he had to lower himself. And so eventually, thank goodness he comes around, right? He listens, and he swallows his pride. He humbles himself. He is obedient, and he's healed. He swallows his pride. He humbles himself. He releases the power of God to work in his life in a miraculous way that was previously being blocked by his own pride, stubbornness, and individuality. His servants say to him, basically, it's simple. You don't need to complicate it. It's kind of like that with faith for us. We're asked to have a childlike faith in the Lord, a simple trust, right? You're not supposed to think about all the what-ifs. You know, when your child trusts you, they trust you. They don't think about all of what could go wrong, like, what if the rope breaks? What if the bolts pull out a rock? What if Stan isn't holding the rope as tightly as he should be? And I hit the ground at the bottom of the cliff. It's not that. It's God's got this. I'm going to lean back and trust him. How about the lepers in the gospel? This is quite a story. Right? So Jesus is traveling in this particular region. And these lepers who were outcasts of society, not welcome in public, they had to keep certain distances, they couldn't associate with people really who were not lepers, they were allowed to associate with each other, which in some respects was a blessing because they had some interaction and whatnot, but people thought that leprosy was a result of sin and wrongdoing in their lives, or something about them was bad, which caused them to have leprosy. And so, you know, their physical, their social, and their spiritual parts were seen as completely outcast in society. And Jesus says to them, go show yourselves to the priests. You know, he didn't do anything like he did when he healed a blind man and spat on the ground and made mud and put it in his eyes. There was no demonstrative anything. There was no waving his hand, no nothing. He just said, go show yourselves to the priests. And at that point, those lepers had a choice to make. They're still covered in leprosy, probably at that point. They're still looking at themselves, you know. body parts eventually fall off with leprosy. Some person may not even have had fingers on a hand or something like that, and they're looking down and going, I can show myself to the priest like this. This is going to be a joke. I'm going to get laughed at. I'm going to be mocked. Jesus is going to be, I don't want to do this. They could have had that choice. They could have said that. And they could have gone away doubting and fearing and feeling disappointed and let down by the one that they thought was going to deliver them. But instead, the choice they make is, okay, Jesus said this. We know his reputation. We trust him. We're going to go and we're going to do this. And they do. And they're healed. There's a whole other sermon on the one guy that came back to give thanks. So we're not going there today. But the point is that this happened because they were obedient. They stepped out in faith despite of the circumstances that they were seeing. And they believed the word of God instead of what the circumstances were saying about them. It's a big difference. You think about the Israelites and the Egyptians when the sea was parted. Both the Israelites and the Egyptians showed great courage when they went out into that gap between the waters in the sea on the land there. But the Israelites were saved because of their faith in God. They trusted, they were weak, they were in a place of weakness, and they put that trust and that faith in God to deliver them and to save them. The Egyptians went after it in their own might and in their own power and in their own pride. And so the difference is that for the Israelites, they relied on God in their weakness. And for the Egyptians, they were destroyed by their pride and their haughtiness and their own self-reliance. Their faith in God saved the Israelites that day. So that one leper that returns, he's already a social outcast as a Samaritan, right? So he's got that against him. He's got the leprosy. He's got all these marks going on against him. And he comes back and he gives thanks because he was so far from God. He was so far away. He was so far from where he could be in society. He felt unreachable, probably felt unacceptable, untouchable. Do you ever feel far from God? Like you've gone too far off and you can't be brought back. You can't be redeemed. The stuff in your life is just too big for God to handle. You've been living with it for a very long time. You've buried it down because you feel like God isn't dealing with it, or you haven't been able to surrender it to him. This account should be an encouragement to us that nobody is too far from God to be redeemed. Nobody is too far from God to be healed, delivered, set free from what ails them, from what binds them, from what keeps them from living the life that God has intended for them to live, and in fact called them to live. Or maybe you can identify with Naaman a little bit. Does your pride ever get in the way? He had to humble himself. He had to surrender his pride. His pride was going to block what God was trying to do in his life. It's a good lesson for those of us in New England who are so independent. We think we can do everything ourselves without any help. And, you know, even if we secretly really appreciate some help, we're never going to ask. Right? Until we come to the end of ourselves and trust God, trust the Lord, we're placing our trust in ourselves and not God. We're doing the same things that the Egyptians did when they charged into the land between the waters and recovered. So until we lean back from that wall, until we trust the rope, we limit God's ability to work in us. When Naaman finally trusted, God worked an amazing thing in his life. And look at his response was, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." Turns it around. And he realizes his folly and his pride. And he says, "Wow, I can't believe it. Look what happened. I have to bow down and give glory to the one who did this, who did what no one else could. There was no part of man's greatness left in him at that point. He had surrendered his whole self to the word of God through the prophet. And it was then that God could do his greatest work in him." So we're each given this measure of faith to trust God. Albeit a mustard seed. We have to come to the end of ourselves to really let go and trust God and have the faith which releases his power to be at work within us. And then having that faith in God brings glory to him. It points others to him. When people look at our lives after God has been able to do something in us, we become a living epistle, a living testimony to the power of God to change lives in amazing and mighty ways. So I want to encourage us this morning to let go of what you're holding on to that is not God, to lean back, trust the rope, and know that God will never let you down. In the name of Christ, amen.